Our scripture is found in Exodus 17, beginning of verse 1. Exodus 17. Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people contended with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." So Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. May God bless the reading of his holy word. A week from this Wednesday, we will be once again celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. It has become a custom to give and receive gifts on that day. The gifts remind us of God's giving us the greatest gift of all when he gave believers his Son to save us from our sins. When I was growing up, if I was a bad boy, which was most of the time, actually, sad to say, around this time of year, my parents would say something like, "You're just going to get a rock or a stone for Christmas." How horrible. While everyone else would be getting wonderful gifts, I would get a rock. None of us, young or old, wants a rock or a stone for Christmas. Now, I wasn't a Christian back then. Lord didn't save me till I was in my 20s. And so I didn't really know what the Bible taught. But now, all these years later, by God's grace, I have been born again. I've studied the Bible, and I've learned that while we may not want a rock or a stone as a gift, we had better all want the rock, which is the greatest gift of all. Today we're going to see where Jesus is called the rock or the stone of our salvation. We will see the rock is the gift we should desire above all other gifts. As we look at God's word to learn about this wonderful gift of the rock or stone, we'll go first to Isaiah 28:16. "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will never be dismayed." 700 years before Christ came, Isaiah is inspired by God to write his declaration about laying the precious cornerstone of the foundation of his eternal kingdom. Webster's dictionary defines name as a word constituting the distinctive designation of a person or thing. Reputation. A name is the embodiment of a reputation. a famous person, spiritual nature, or essence. When some people say the name of Jesus, they say it with love and honor and respect and even worship. And they rejoice because they truly know him as their Savior and Lord. When other people say the name of Jesus, they say it in mockery or as a curse word. They are not aware of what the name and person of Jesus means to God Almighty. Philippians 2:9 makes it clear. There we read, "Therefore God exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Yes, Jesus is the name that is above every name, and yet God has inspired the writers of his word to use other names to describe Jesus. In fact, there are 220 different names used in the Bible to describe the person and work of Jesus. Tonight, we're just going to look at one of these names, one of the most descriptive names of Jesus is when he is called the stone or the rock of our salvation. Earlier in Isaiah 28:16, we saw that 700 years before Christ, God inspired him to write the declaration that God would lay the chief cornerstone of the foundation of his kingdom. Then as we come to 700 years later to Paul's letter to the Ephesians, we see God inspires Paul to reveal the one who is the cornerstone. In Ephesians 2:19 and 20, we read, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." A cornerstone in a building is the stone at the corner of a building uniting two intersecting walls. It's absolutely necessary if the walls are to stand. Spiritually speaking, we could define a cornerstone as the indispensable and fundamental basis for a belief. Jesus is the chief cornerstone that unites God and repentant sinners. He is the chief cornerstone who brings the Jew and the Gentile in himself as they repent and trust in him as their Savior and Lord. God used the figure of the stone to describe how most of the Jews would not recognize Jesus as the promised Jewish Messiah. We see this prophecy in Psalm 118, beginning at verse 22, where we read, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our sight." As we go to Matthew 21:42-46, we see that Jesus applied this to himself as he rebukes the Jewish religious leaders for not recognizing him. He said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. Now, when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitudes, because they took him for a prophet. Then Peter is inspired by God to develop the fulfillment of this prophecy. In 1 Peter 2, 1 through 10, we read, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumbled, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." And as we go to 1 Corinthians 10, I'm going to begin at verse 1 there, and we read, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Praise God. This reference to Jesus as the spiritual rock from which they drank refers to Exodus 17 and 1 through 6, our scripture reading. Remember, God commanded Moses to strike the rock with his staff, and water would come out to quench the thirst of the people. This really happened, and yet this is a picture of how God commanded the suffering and death of Jesus on the cross for the sins of all believers. As our spiritual rock, Jesus Christ was struck by the wrath of God for our sins, true believers were refreshed. Our spiritual thirst was quenched. And by God's grace, we were saved. Praise God. We should be thinking about how we view Christmas. Especially, you can tell your children or grandchildren, we don't view it as the world views it. While we may not want to receive a stone from the ground for a Christmas gift, if we truly appreciate the birth of Christ, we must rejoice in receiving him as the chief cornerstone of our eternal salvation. Yes, we can only appreciate Christmas if we have Jesus Christ as the rock of our salvation. That's why we can sing joy to the world, the Lord is come and has become our salvation. If there's anyone here who doesn't know him as Savior and Lord, truly, you know what he did, but you've never seen him as truly your personal Savior and Lord. You have to see yourself as a sinner. All have sinned, Scripture tells us, and fall short of the glory of God. He that believeth on the Son hath eternal life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on them. May God have mercy on you and give you the grace to believe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we rejoice in you. We rejoice in your word, how clear it is. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've made yourself the rock of our salvation. As we trust in your shed blood and your flesh, Lord, given for us on the cross unto death, we are saved. Our sins are washed away. We're clothed in your perfect righteousness. And we know the truth that it's all of your grace. Even the faith we exercise is a gift from you, that you receive all the glory and praise in our salvation. Help us, Lord, to be faithful here on earth while the world hates your name, Lord. They don't want to hear about their sin. They don't want to hear that you are the only way to eternal life. Help us, Lord, to rejoice so much in you, in our own salvation, that we still will witness. We'll love our neighbor as ourselves. If we didn't know you as Savior and Lord, we would want our neighbor to tell us about you. Help us, Lord, again, to rejoice so much that witnessing isn't a chore for us. It's a joy. And we praise you for what you're going to do. And we pray that you'd come soon, Lord Jesus, and pray in your precious name. Amen.